This is EVQuest New Shorts Weekend Edition, highlighting recent EV news from New Zealand, Australia, and other places that are in the world. I'm Adrian Maidment, and joining me as usual on a weekend is Riz Actor from Carloop, based in Melbourne, Australia. Hello, Riz.
Hey, Adrian. Good to be on. We've got a bit to talk about today. It's lots happening.
Yes. Well, I'll just start with, I had my test drive of the new Volvo EX30. I'll be doing a full review of that soon on YouTube and podcasting, but overall, and a very enjoyable drive. That's what I've got on
it
that.
It looks like a good car, and I think in New Zealand, you've had it way before we have. We still haven't had any of those vehicles delivered here, so good to see. And overall, how did you think compared to like the Volvo XC40?
I figured you could tell it was sort of like a newer generation. I thought it drove really well, actually. I was really impressed. One pedal drive worked a lot better than the EX40, and just overall driving was an enjoyable experience, I guess. Handled well on different conditions, good turning circle. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and did you get a few looks when you were driving on the road? Like, it is a new car, quite different.
I was looking for some looks, actually, but I didn't get any. I was looking out for someone to go, hey, what's that?
Maybe it's like a typical Volvo thing, it just blends in. Yeah,
maybe they just saw me. No, not in my mind. I was in the yellowy color one. It's called, what is it? It's the yellowy one, anyway. That's not the correct name. But I'll mention it in the review. But it did stand out.
I mean, I've seen the pictures.
Moss. Something Moss.
What did you think about the software on the inside? Like, did you get a good feel of it?
Yeah, it worked. It's Google-based.
Oh, good.
So it works really well, I guess you'd say. There was no lagginess. It's that classic phrase about there was nothing laggy. Worked very well. I did my Hey Google, that worked all very well. I got the right commands when I asked for stuff. So that
fantastic.
Was good.
Fantastic. So customers, I guess, will start receiving the delivery shortly in New Zealand?
Yeah, the first boatload sold out for New Zealand, and the second one's on the way. I got mine from Ebert Prestige Tauranga, so shout out to them for letting me take the car for a drive. Speaking of cars that are EVs, Australia... price discounts. What's happening there?
Everywhere. We've got BYD.
MG. I was reading your article about the MG slashing prices across their range.
Yeah. So just a bit of background. BYD cut their prices earlier this year on the 2023 model at 03s. They say get $2,023 off on 2023 model at 03s. And then... basically, on Thursday night, MG put out a press release to say they've cut prices across all of their electric offerings, all variants of MG4 and MGZS. The way they've cut their prices, it's a little bit different because what they've said is they will pay for the on-road costs. So your stamp duty and any of those government costs on registrations, they will cover all the on-road costs, which, just to give your listeners a bit of an idea, in most states, it's roughly between 6 and 8% of the value of the car. So, for example, MG4 X-Power is $59,990. By the time you put stamp duty and registration and other costs, it's $65,000. So in that case, you pay $59,990. And the MG will pay the rest of the costs. That's, you know, nearly 10% off the value of the car. MGZS long range was over 50,000, 56,000 drive away. Now I think it's around 47,990 drive away. So they've cut the prices quite a bit, and it's the first time that an electric SUV can be purchased for under $40,000 drive away, and that's the MGZS EV that comes in at $39,990. The MG4 base model, 51 kilowatt hours, is $39,990. Even with the price cuts, the cheapest electric car in Australia is the GWM Aura, and that's $36,500 drive away.
Aura is still number one on lowest price. I guess we could maybe just sort of mention that I mentioned it before. That new BYD, the it's not here, but the Seagull, isn't it? Dolphin Mini.
Yes.
That's, well, they said that's price. Well, I guess it's in China though, but they said price from around $10,000. But I saw in Mexico they just released it around $20,000. But that's, yes,
a benchmark, right? So I guess one quick point is that an average Corolla hybrid here costs around $32,000 to $34,000. And if you can get a GWM Aura for $36,000, then it's getting closer to that petrol vehicles on the market. I also saw that BYD has is very close to getting their production factory in Thailand up and running. So, you know, we could soon be getting BYD vehicles and right-hand drives being made in Thailand and delivered to Australia and New Zealand.
Talking new cars, that sort of what's been new on YouTube promoted this week would probably be that the BMW for the future, the
prototype
BMW Vision Neue Klasse X. I think I said that wrong most of the time. Yeah, but it looks good. That's sort of like their new look, isn't it? They released that saloon version last year, I think. So this is sort of like the next generation of where their design is going.
Yeah, well, we need to get them to, you know, put them into production so we can start to see it. Too many concepts, too many prototypes. I think the Chinese are quite a bit ahead. Actually, speaking of Chinese cars, Xiaomi, the phone maker, has released their vehicle, so that we'll start to see some reviews out of China about that. When Apple couldn't make a car, Xiaomi was able to. So we'll, you know, that's an interesting one. And both NIO and XPeng have announced that they will be releasing more affordable, like a more affordable brand of each of their products in the next couple of months. I think NIO will have an affordable brand by May, and XPeng is going to be doing something similar by the second half of the year. So yeah, interesting times.
Yeah, it seems to be a bit of a move towards the smaller market now, isn't it? The smaller sized vehicles as opposed to everyone building great big SUVs and chucking a battery in them sort of thing.
Price. Yeah, and speaking of XPeng briefly, they are apparently launching in Singapore, a right-hand drive market like Australia and New Zealand, in the second half of this year.
Oh, that's very interesting. If they'd like me to come and review it, just give me a call.
You'll be on the first plane.
I'll be on the first plane to Singapore. Oh, gosh. In the news also, Kia EV9 named UK Car of the Year. Ooh. It's won a few awards. You've driven that, we've mentioned before.
Yeah. Quite nice, very comfortable. Anyone looking for the larger SUV, it's available. Do test drive it at your local Kia dealer, and we are not sponsored by Kia.
No, I'd like to be sponsored by someone. And if you'd like to sponsor this show, give me a call, email. Still looking for a sponsor. It's currently sponsored by me.
That's right.
Self-sponsored. With not deep pockets. Just sort of talking about screens in cars. This came out a few days ago, but the EU's looking to bring back the buttons. I'm not sure if it's completely locked in, but European regulator is looking to bring back buttons onto the cars, so they will have feature physical buttons or switches to turn for the turn signals, the hazard lights, the horn, windshield wiper, and the e-call function to earn the highest possible crash test rating.
Well, that will be interesting because currently the highest, you know, crash test rating is offered to Teslas. And if they keep removing buttons, then...
Yeah. As a Tesla man yourself, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think it's the right thing. But I guess people have to get behind the wheel of some of those new Teslas. And, you know, when I test drove the new Highland, as it's called, the one without the stalks, didn't take long, took less than sort of maybe 20 minutes of driving around. You get pretty used to where the indicators are and all the rest of it. So I guess European rules will mean that if it does come back, then great. But it's you know, not something that, and you know, we may not see these for a while, these sort of changes. Like Tesla often ships cars differently in different markets, so you know, we'll find out.
Anything else happening in Australia that's making news?
Charging infrastructure seems to be growing pretty quickly. Tesla's opened a fair few new sites across Australia this year so far, and other charging networks, including the federal government funded sort of a national network that goes all around the country. There's a few sites coming in remote locations, like Tennant Creek in the middle of the outback. That's opened. Nullarbor Roadhouse is also opened. It's going to be quite interesting to see how it all sort of pans out. But charging infrastructure is growing pretty rapidly. Actually, one thing I did want to say, I heard in New Zealand there was a bit of vandalism at a Tesla supercharger somewhere.
I think they said it was a Ford Ranger driver. Like, you know, they usually mention someone's age in an article, but this was like they mentioned their car.
We had a similar incident maybe a couple of weeks ago here where a truck had parked across three Tesla supercharger bays and grabbed the plug out of the supercharger bay and snuck it somewhere in the truck so that, you know, it looks like it's charging when it was clearly a diesel truck, and someone was trying to be funny. In a truck with like full, like it had like all the signage across it of some landscaping business. So even the guy's number, call Justin, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just, so, you know, these sort of incidents will occur, but the important thing is that, broadly speaking, it's not too bad.
Yeah, that was in Taupo, and then they said the driver was arrested. Okay, thank you, Riz. Thanks for your time, and we'll see you next week.
See you next time.